Well, when the story first broke, I really didn't think Bobby Petrino was going to get fired.
I did not either.
You thought too successful, right? They'll find a way to keep him?
Well, I just thought, again, I didn't think that this thing was going to get continue to snowball and get worse and worse, but I just thought that there would be a suspension and then, you know, it would be swept under the rug.
Nope, not swept under the rug. Swept out of the rug. Bobby Petrino is out. Welcome to the CBSSports.com College Football Podcast on April 12th, a Thursday afternoon. Adam Azer and J. Darren Darsh, we're going to talk about Petrino. We'll talk about a couple of spring practices that have come to a conclusion, TCU and Florida. One team is putting a pretty stupid thing on their football field for their spring game, and many, many more things from around the nation to discuss, including just a really cool article about Urban Meyer and the Florida Gators. Unless you're a Gator fan, that is not that cool. Or an Ohio State fan, I guess, but...
Come on.
Pretty interesting stuff,
I know,
huh?
But people knew some of this stuff already.
What did we know?
Well, I mean, all right, we'll talk about that later. Continue.
Fine, fine. If you want to send us an email, send it to podcast@cbsinteractive.com. And we did have a few. The one I'm going to read today is from Jams. And he says, guys, he's now the dean of Big Ten coaches by a mile. You got to know how to pronounce his name. An easy way to remember, especially after the nepotism news, is that his name rhymes with parents. I know this, and I'm a fan of an SEC school. To borrow a phrase, don't be dumb.
Hey, that's our line. But we'll let you have it this week.
That's Darst's line. He always says that. Don't be dumb. And you're talking about Kirk Ferentz, whose name I can never remember how to pronounce. But now that I know it rhymes with parents, it's going to work.
Yeah, but see, I call it, but I'm going to call him Kirk Ferentz because I say, how are your parents doing? So that's what I'm going to call him.
And I'm just going to call him Kirk Parents. So we're still going to be screwed up. Who do you think the next head coach at Arkansas will be?
I don't know. I honestly have no idea. You know, you hear all these names being tossed around. Mm-hmm. I could see Gus Malzahn spending 1 year at Arkansas State and then becoming a head coach at Arkansas.
That's what I think, too, especially if you read his comment, I'm the coach at Arkansas State. I'm not worried about anything else. I'm committed to being here. It's,
parentheses for this year.
Yeah, that's kind of wishy-washy. You know, I wish guys would just be like, no, I'm not interested. I'm not taking it. But they don't want to pull a Saban.
No, and you're right. And listen, it's for him, he goes to a small school, comes ahead, he's the head coach there, and then next year Arkansas, you know, it's a perfect fit for him.
Yeah, he's at Arkansas State right now. So let's go through this thing here with Bobby Petrino. 4 years, 34-17 overall, 21-5 in his last 2 years, so he obviously did a great job. Why did he get fired? Well, really, it was about hiring that girl. That had to be just the most important thing. You're having an affair with a 25-year-old woman, Jessica Durrell. He hired her to be part of the football program. That was a violation of university policy. He gave her a gift of $20,000.
Yeah, but, well, continue. Obviously.
And a job that paid $56,000.
Hey, that's good work if you can get
almost.
It.
Yeah, and there were 159 applicants for the job that she got on the football staff. She's not an assistant coach or anything like that. She does stuff with recruits.
Would that have been a problem hiring her as an assistant?
Right? New offensive line coach Jessica Durrell. I think she was a former volleyball player at Arkansas. Only three of the 159 applicants were interviewed. So you're using your power to get your mistress. Is that too harsh of a word?
No, as we have it in the headline I see on our site, Petrino, comma, mistress in frequent contact over the past 6 months.
To get her a job. So do you think everything was justified?
Wait a second. Somebody also said that her fiance also works in the athletic department.
He does.
Is he going to come forward at this point?
And or I just would love to hear from him.
Yeah, but
I'm not in this whole gossip
thing. That's the
thing,
very TMZ-ish of sports, though, and trying to be gossipy and tabloidy. But
you're still interested. I mean, admit it.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
But I'm interested because I watch things like the Kardashian show. So I'm interested because I kind of – but I wonder if he's just going to fade away and not communicate with anybody.
You know, you got to feel badly for his family.
Of course.
For Petrino's family. It's obviously an unfortunate situation. Some other candidates, Tommy Tuberville, Garrick McGee, Skip Holtz, who kind of dismissed it. His father coached at Arkansas.
Yeah, listen, a lot of the guys now, they're being asked, and they're all going to say no because they all have jobs right now.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's going to be – it's just not going to work to transform that way. And you don't want to say, yeah, I'm interested in the school that you're at. It's going to be like, hey, what the heck? You don't want to stay here? Then get out of here.
Butch Davis, I thought, was a pretty interesting name. What do you think?
NCAA violations? You're not going to hire Butch Davis this soon.
Probably not, but it was really John Blake, his assistant. And I know, it took a while for UNC to fire
him. But you're still at a school that had NCAA violations. You got fired because of that, basically.
I'm with you on that.
You're going to go somewhere else and get hired right away?
I'm with you on that one.
I don't think so.
Tavor Johnson is the interim head coach. Paul Petrino is on that staff as well.
Yeah, he hasn't said anything either.
that's awkward situation. But what do you think about Arkansas this year now? Obviously, this is a team that maybe we'll call them a dark horse to win the national championship before this news. How much are they going to be hurt? I think it's going to be significant. I think it could be the difference between maybe two games in the standings.
Well, it could be. I mean, listen, Petrino had... I mean, the other thing, too, is if they obviously they keep the offense the same and they keep everything the same, it's probably it won't seem... Maybe it doesn't matter, but I don't know. Just your coach all of a sudden is not there. The guy these players look to as their leader is no longer there.
I think it will matter.
You do? Okay.
And I do think that the offense will be the same because Tyler Wilson's coming back. Nile Davis will be back. They could run the ball a lot more this year. And they ended up with a pretty decent running game by the end of the year. They got better. Their offensive line seemed to play a little bit better. But it wasn't a strength throughout the year. We were always saying they have to be able to run the ball. Nile Davis being back could help.
Let me ask you this, going back to the exchange and stuff. 4,300 text messages over 7 months? That's like 600 a month. Is that a lot of text messages?
It's 10 a day. It's 20 a day.
So that's not a lot.
Not at all.
That's not now. That's 20 a day to your mistress. Now, are you texting your? Is he texting his wife too?
I don't know. But you know what I want to know is if he didn't use a university issued cell phone, nobody could have gotten this, right? I'm not sure about that, but I think that's a big part
of
it.
Well, that's a public, it's a, again, all that stuff's public record. You work for the state university system, you're right. So maybe that's where a little bit of
and that's what got Houston Nutt in trouble, too, I believe.
Right. 20 texts, you send 20 texts a day? To one person.
I don't have a mistress or a wife or
a
girlfriend.
No, I don't either, but again, you and I.
You get into a conversation, you get into a text conversation with someone, it can easily go over 20.
You and I are friends. We text on the weekend sometimes about stuff.
I'm going to look up our text.
This weekend,
from
last night,
from when you were having, from when you were out to dinner, and you started texting me about how much you hated the heat. I think we're at around 20.
Yeah, but here's the difference.
Nothing inappropriate going out here, folks. I promise.
A lot of heat bashing. Miami heat bashing. But I don't know if I could text. I don't know if I text 20 a day. I would never text 20 a day to one person. I don't think I could do that. That's a lot.
You would to your girlfriend.
I don't know.
Listen, you're a 50-something-year-old guy, and you've got this hot 25-year-old girlfriend. You're going to text her. You know?
Yeah, but
let's not say... It's not necessarily 20 every day, okay? There could be some days where they text for hours.
Right.
120.
I know. This is an odd situation here, because we don't want to make light of this. We don't want to make light of this, because a guy had a mistress, I mean, and stuff like that, in his family. But it is kind of an odd situation. You have to think about it. And people who are listening to the podcast, especially the gentlemen, the guys who have girlfriends or wives, think about that. If you have a wife or a girlfriend, and you're texting another girl, I mean, if you're texting 20 times a day, maybe even more at home, when you're with your wife, How does a wife not know this at some point?
Well,
that's true. That's a good
point.
These
guys are in their offices. They're at work all the time.
No, that's a good point.
But let's get back to football.
This is a football podcast?
This is actually a fun conversation.
Sorry, I just honestly, when I saw the 4,300 text messages, we got into discussion at work here about if that a lot or not.
I don't think it is at all.
Okay.
Not at all. Did he deserve to get fired? I think we can agree yes, right?
At this point, yes.
Will he coach again?
Yes.
I agree. Anything else to say about Arkansas? Are they no longer SEC West contenders? I say no.
No, I don't know. Who would be the West contender then? Auburn? No.
Well, LSU. Alabama and LSU?
Well, I know them. Yeah, I know, but I never considered Arkansas to get ahead of LSU and Alabama at any point next year anyway. So to me, they were always a third place team. Are they going to finish any worse than third? Maybe fourth? But this doesn't affect them. I never had them as a West contender anyway. I had them as a third-place team in the
West.
Okay, that's fair.
Michigan is putting the hashtag Go Blue.
You don't like this?
Hashtag Go Blue on its field for the spring game.
I don't like it at all. Why?
They should put a hashtag We're Pathetic.
Why? I think it's a great idea. First of all, I'm not a big Twitter person, okay? I understand the value of it. I get it. I just don't get involved that much with it. But I think it's great. You're at the game. You're texting, you're Twittering, or whatever you're doing on your phone. #GoBlue.
I gotta stop you.
I mean, people want to do that.
I hate people that call it Twittering. It's tweeting.
All right. people who are tweeting on their phone, they're going to use hashtag go blue.
Fine,
people
put it on your field.
Why? It's that's the way things are. People don't put advertisements on their field. They do now because it's the way it is now. That's the way the world is. You advertise.
I think it's
weak. I don't think it's weak at all.
I don't think you. I think fields to me are like they're sacred, and jerseys are sacred. You know, it's like if when we see advertising on jerseys, that's going to bother me a lot. Yeah, that's why. That's one
well,
of the many
I don't know
reasons
about,
I'm
I don't
not
know about
a NASCAR fan.
Yeah, but I don't think that's going to happen in the NCAA.
Not in college football. No. I just mean in general in sports. If we ever see advertising on uniforms, it would bother me a lot. If I see hashtags on football fields, it's going to annoy me.
Okay, so you don't like advertisements on fields. So when so-and-so is playing in the Little Caesars Pizza Bowl and there's a big Little Caesars logo in there, what do you think that is? That's advertising.
This is a hash. This is a Twitter. This is
it's so minor.
So what's next? Facebook/GoBlue or whatever?
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Join our Facebook page. I like
obviously,
that.
I'm overreacting to it somewhat purposefully, but I don't know. I just don't like it.
Okay.
Colorado's leading returning wide receiver, Paul Richardson, will miss the year with a knee injury, so they are going to be a little depleted at receiver given what they lost last year and now losing their leading returning receiver for the year. How about this, Darst? I keep telling you.
Okay, what are you going
to
tell
me? Do not go to a fast food restaurant at 2:20 in the morning and chant War Eagle. You're going to get punched in
the face.
Yeah. You know, it's going to happen.
It's a sad thing and it's kind of stupid, but you see this Alabama Auburn rivalry is so huge.
Was it definitely an Alabama fan?
I don't know, but I mean, where did it happen?
Northern Florida at a Whataburger.
Oh,
which
so
is
maybe it was in the
delicious.
It's right. It did happen in Northern Florida. So I'm sorry. I thought it happened in Alabama.
Oh, an Alabama fan would have punched him in the face, stole his wallet.
Nice.
Set his car on fire.
This is, honestly, SEC football. It's serious, isn't it?
Yeah.
You don't say War Eagle and get – I mean, obviously, there's some alcohol involved
Look,
here, right? At
2:20
in the morning.
They don't serve it at Whataburger, but there could have been, it could have been involved. But the bottom line is you go to a fast food place at 2:20 in the morning – you're kind of asking for trouble, right?
No, well, it depends. I mean, don't you ever go through the drive-through?
Drive-through, yeah. If you go,
oh, you're saying you go in,
food,
yeah, yeah. You're probably asking for
yeah,
trouble.
You're probably asking for trouble. How about Matt Hayes' article in Sporting News about Urban Meyer and kind of how he coached at UF and what he left UF with? I'm going to read some quotes from the story. Now those issues have surfaced for all to see. Left in the wake of Meyer's resignation were problems that can destroy a coaching career. Drug use among players, a philosophy of preferential treatment for certain players, a sense of entitlement among all players, and roster management by scholarship manipulation. One former player said this, over the last 2 years he was there, the players had taken complete control of the team. Former Florida safety Brian Thomas said the program was out of control. He also said, as far as coaching, there's no one else like Meyer. He's a great coach. He gets players to do things you never thought you could do, but he's a bad person. He'll win at Ohio State, but if he doesn't change, they're going to have the same problems. There's another part of this story where he was recently recruiting for Ohio State, recruiting wide receiver Stephon Diggs. He told Diggs, according to the story, not to go to Florida because they have character issues.
that's the money sentence of that whole story.
He denied that. He denied that part of the report. And Diggs ended up going to Maryland, by the way. What was your take on this story?
Well, first of all, listen, I know we talked about it before. There was some drug use. We already knew that story, okay? There was some marijuana issues and some players got suspended. That's nothing new, okay? What's the other thing? Some players got preferential treatment? What? At a big-time college football program? Shocking.
But it wasn't That's just the preferential treatment. It was like a few players failed the drug test, and then they were put on the injury report. They missed the next game, and they were injured.
That's been
going on
for years. First of all, he had like I don't know the exact numbers. I'm sure some
30 arrests.
Like 30 arrests in 4 seasons or something like that. We knew that. We knew that that program was a little bit out of control.
30 arrests under – well, the number has been around 30 because it depends
– right.
Which publication you see, but around 30 arrests during Urban Meyer's
Yeah, but we
tenure.
Already knew all these things. It's not that big of a deal.
And everyone, thing, listen, people weren't really that surprised by this story.
And he goes to Ohio State, and Ohio State's coming off their issues. So, I mean, of course, they've got character issues, too. That's what these big-time programs do.
So you didn't really,
I'm not shocked,
didn't really affect you?
I'm not shocked by it, but some of that stuff I knew already. Everybody kind of knew. Maybe they didn't know 100%, like I can prove it in court, but everyone kind of knew. You know, listen, we work with people in the office who are Gator fans. They all know. They all know stuff's going around. They know what goes on at their school.
One of the implications of the article, though, was that it implied that that Will Muschamp was basically left with a lousy program or a program that needed a lot of repair.
Well, the program does need help. I mean, they've got issues, but I think they've got athlete issues and not able to get the same recruits they were getting under.
No, see, that's where I completely disagree. Their recruiting classes have been fine. They've recruited very, very well. In fact, the two quarterbacks that, and we might as well talk about their spring game now.
What's their record? What was their record last year?
But just let me make my point. You're making my point for me without even knowing it, so thank you for that. Basically, blaming Urban Meyer for the Gators' problems last year is a cop-out to me. I think I think the current coaching staff, not that Will Muschamp should be fired or anything like that, but I think that they have to take their own share of the blame because I do think there's plenty of talent there. Before Urban Meyer left, he brought in what was called one of the best defensive recruiting classes ever. If you look at the two quarterbacks that are battling right now for the starting spot, Jeff Driscoll and Jacoby Brissett, these are two great quarterback recruits. Jeff Driscoll was supposed to break Tim Tebow's records. I don't even think he's going to be the starter.
No,
Looks like Brissett maybe has a leg up. They're saying it's even. I think Brissett is a passer, whereas Driscoll would have been better for Urban Meyer, not necessarily for Brent Pease, the new offensive coordinator.
Well, maybe Muschamp's not the coach to be at Florida. Maybe he shouldn't be there. Maybe he's not the type of person to. Again, they've also had offensive coordinator, you know, Charlie Weiss. Yeah. They're going through some transition here.
But if you want to tell me that they don't have the right personnel for the coaching staff or they have some character issues, fine. But if you're going to tell me they don't have enough talent to win, that's absurd. They had Rainey and Demps last year. They have a bunch of good wide receivers who have completely underachieved.
Well, they had a quarterback.
John Brantley himself
had a quarterback
problem, but he was a big-time recruit.
Yeah, but
they had recruits all over the place.
Yeah, but just because you're a five-star recruit doesn't mean you're going to be good in college.
But they've had enough where they should have had – their players should have played better. Now, again, if it was a bad fit for Will Muschamp, fine. If they had character concerns, I'll give them that. But I don't want to hear anybody telling me that Urban Meyer left him with nothing, because that's not true. And the article didn't say that.
Right.
I'm just saying independently of that.
Well, let's see what happens this year with them. I mean, I think they're in a transition year.
But they shouldn't have taken that big of a step back.
It happens. Teams take big steps back.
There's a lot of talent there. I think they need to do better.
All right. Well, then they're under the microscope this year in a very talented SEC.
Yeah, it is. It is a tough, but it's not that great of an SEC East.
No, not in the East, but it's SEC altogether.
Anything else on Urban Meyer, or should we move on?
No, let's move on from him.
Anything else on UF's spring game?
No.
Okay. TCU's spring practice concluded last week, and one point I want to make about TCU is they got Casey Paul Hall. They got wide receiver Josh Boyce. They can throw the ball.
Yeah.
But they're going to a passing conference now. They're in the Big 12. They should have one of the best running games in the conference. They've got great talent at running back. I want to see them pound the ball and play some defense.
Well, the defense is going to be huge because they're going to be playing some of the wide-open offenses here.
They're going to struggle, I think, on defense. That secondary was a problem last year. I don't know how much better it's going to be.
Well,
and remember, they're missing three projected starters on defense because of the drug scandal.
I know, but it's got to be better because they're playing a lot of passing offenses and a lot of teams that can score a lot of points.
I'm worried about them. I think they're going to be an anti-typical TCU team. They're going to score a lot. They're going to give up a lot.
Yeah,
they're going to get thrown on a lot. That's all I have. Well, you wanted to talk about what to watch for in some of the spring games that are coming up this weekend, this Saturday, and even one the following weekend at West Virginia. Let's talk about West Virginia first.
Yeah, I just was going through some notes here and stuff. The funny thing about West Virginia, this is kind of a funny thing. It's not really too much about the actual football team, which I think they're going to be a very good team this year coming off that Orange Bowl win and everything. They have a lot of talent.
Don't overrate them.
All right, I won't. They're my top ten.
Overrated.
Holgorsen said he wants to eclipse 30,000 fans in attendance for the next Saturday's Gold Blue game. They've sold 3,000 tickets so far. They're a little short of that 30,000. Now, will there be a big rush? Yes. But
Will there be?
I don't know. But here's the funny thing. It's West Virginia. You're telling me they can't get an easy 30,000 to their spring game? Alabama's getting 90.
To that we say, good luck with that.
I'm shocked by that.
Yeah, I don't think getting 30,000 is realistic. It's a lot. I mean, that's really good.
I mean,
just because Alabama's getting 90,000, it doesn't mean that West Virginia should get 30,000. That would be a hell of a turn.
A lot going on in Morgantown on that weekend?
I don't know. It could be cold.
I don't know if it's going to be the cold.
I don't know. It could be. It's cold up north now.
All right, we'll check back and see next week.
You see the what was it, the Tigers-Rays game maybe? One of the games that I watched recently, there was a snowstorm.
That's
ridiculous. Like the eighth inning.
That's ridiculous.
So
still, 30,000 people. Come on. You're diehard West Virginia fans. You travel well when it comes to bowl season.
Get out. 30,000 is a lot.
Get out there. Let's go.
Going to a spring game, dorky or diehard?
I'm going to say it's diehard because college football is very team-centric, very diehard. You follow your team. You ever been to a UM spring game?
I'm thinking about going Saturday. I don't think I will. I went to a practice last year. It was like a public scrimmage, basically. Because it was near my apartment. I live pretty far from the stadium. But I was bored out of my mind, which is really the main reason why I'm not most likely going to go to the spring game.
I went to an FIU spring game before, and yeah. I was walking the sidelines, and I was bored.
It's so
just,
boring.
It's just not a very exciting thing.
The thing is,
but it might be more exciting if I went to Alabama or, you know,
well, the thing
Oklahoma
that was fun about even going to that scrimmage, which probably had like 5,000 people, was you've been away from it for a while as a football
right.
fan. You get back there, you got like other fans out in their jerseys. Everybody's happy. Nobody cares about winning or losing. You know, you're just really happy to watch football again and kind of congregate with people. And that is fun.
And you know what else? It's one of those opportunities when you see some kid and you're like, who's that number 83 guy? Let me look at their – oh, man, he's going to be awesome. He's a freshman. He's going to be great. So, yeah, it's fun time. I don't have a problem. I don't think it's dorky. I think it's diehard. I like it.
I think a lot of people would say it's dorky, but I'm all for it. For
yeah.
our listeners, go to the spring game. And go to West Virginia spring game. I don't care where you live. Just get to West Virginia spring game. We want 30,000 people there. What else do you want to watch for? FSU spring game, what do you want to watch for?
Well, you're going to rip me for this, but I don't care. Jimbo Fisher said every spot on the team is open. Receiver, tight end, quarterback, O-line, nose tackle, middle linebacker, safety. We're going to find guys to play winning
punter.
Football. Oh, he didn't mention the punter. So that spot's locked up, I guess.
So have you ever followed football before?
That's what I wanted to ask you. Is Jimbo Fisher serious here, or is he really saying, listen, I already know who my first teamers are. We're just going to have some, going to try to motivate some guys.
Yeah, it's, you know, he's not serious. Not every spot is open for competition. But actually, think about the running backs, right?
Right.
They got a committee there. That spot's got to be open for competition. You think about even quarterback. I didn't mind what I saw from Trickett last year.
Yeah, there's no way that spot's open.
Oh, it'd be a total shock.
Yeah.
But I at least would like to see some competition there and something to push E.J. Manuel.
I just thought that was funny when he said every spot was open.
It's funny because you fell for it. That's
no,
funny.
I did not fall for it.
That's what's funny about
it. I said I'm going to report it because it is funny.
Okay, well, I didn't find it funny. I found it to be typical coach speak. What do you got to look out for at Illinois?
Well, here's the thing I saw about Illinois, and I don't go to a lot of spring games, so I just maybe this is normal, maybe it's not, but it's not normal for Illinois. They're going to play a normal clock in the first half and a running clock in the second half.
It's because spring games are so boring.
So they're going to be like, let's do it real for the first half and then just get it over with the second half. There's no live special teams. All drives after a score will start in the 30. All punts have to be fair catches.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
No, I know, but I found the running clock in the second half to be kind of strange.
Believe me, if you were at a spring game, you'd be like, hell yeah, running clock in the second half. That is great news. North Carolina, what do you have there?
Listen, this is going to be a whole new team here. New coach on offense, new coach on defense. They're going to institute a 4-2-5. The offense is going to look different with Fedora. I'm really interested to see what goes on in North Carolina because I think North Carolina is one of those teams in the middle of the ACC where they're not going to be they're not a great team, they're not a bottom feeder, and I'm interested to see what Fedora does with this team and this program.
You look at their division, and right now I'll pick Virginia Tech.
Of course.
They got to be the favorite, but Miami's going to be, I think, 6-6 this year. Georgia Tech, you never really know what you're going to get, but they're losing Stephen Hill, so I'm going to say they're not going to win the division.
Anywhere from 9 wins to 6 wins for Georgia Tech.
You got Duke.
No, it's 5.
And then if it's not Virginia Tech, it's probably Virginia, right?
Yeah, they could win 7 or 8 games.
But when Virginia is your stiffest competition for second in the division. North Carolina could surprise some people.
They could. They're another team. This is a team I really want to watch this year because Butch Davis had the program going in the right direction, and I thought they were going to be a strong team, a 10-win team, and they kind of fell. But I'm interested to see what happens here.
The big difference, the big thing to watch there, is that they might switch quarterbacks. We talked about that last week. They might get away from Brent Renner and go with a more mobile guy to kind of fit Fedora's offense. And we talked about West Virginia, so what do you want to look at in Georgia's spring game this weekend?
Well, listen, Aaron Murray is going to get not a very big test against his own secondary if they're going first team versus first team because they're going to be without all their guys in the secondary. And if they're without Sanders Cummings and Brandon Smith and Bakari Rambo, who may be suspended, all these guys are facing suspensions, there's going to have to be some guys in the secondary. They're going to have to step up. So guess what? You're going against possibly, and do I dare say, the best QB in the SEC?
No, you idiot.
No?
No.
Who's the best QB in the SEC?
Tyler Wilson.
I don't know. I don't know if that's true or not. So I'm going to say...
I think Aaron Murray's overrated.
Okay.
He's good. He's good.
Anyway,
don't get me wrong, but he's overrated.
These are guys who are maybe inexperienced and may have to get some starch right away. The first one, maybe these other guys have suspended one or two games. So I want to see what they do. Can they stop Murray? What if Murray throws all over these first-team corners? Now Georgia's got a cornerback issue.
Well, first of all, they're going to be using one of their wide receivers, Malcolm Mitchell, as a cornerback. And that scares me. And that's terrifying.
Yeah.
Not only because he's playing cornerback and he's a wide receiver, but also because they are losing one of their better wide receivers. One thing to point out, though, about him, Malcolm Mitchell, is that he was recruited as a defensive back. He was, according to Mark Richt, a pretty highly touted defensive back. And I also kind of recently recently formed my opinion that Tyler Wilson is the number one quarterback in the SEC. I juggle between him and Aaron Murray. You're not that crazy, but I'm going to go with Tyler Wilson.
Also, I didn't know if you knew this or not. Alan Ingram, Bakari Rambo's high school coach, said that Rambo inadvertently ate some marijuana-laced brownies.
Yeah, I saw that.
You inadvertently?
He woke up. He had a brownie. It had weed in it. He didn't know.
Okay.
I've never had a marijuana brownie, but I want to know how long before you can taste it and be like, oh, this is not a, like, there's clearly something in this brownie. I don't know. Do they taste like normal brownies?
You're asking the wrong person. Yeah. I don't know either.
We're such squares, man.
I know we are, but
we're such spring game going to squares.
Listen, we want to talk to the users. We don't want to let's email us two things. Number one,
do not email us about that.
Don't email us about it. But email us if you're going to a spring game. I want to hear from the fans if you go to a spring game and if you enjoy it or you get bored out of your mind at halftime.
Yeah.
You know, and then obviously also the same thing. Or if you don't go to the spring games, tell me why you don't go to spring games. Because they're dorky or just because I've been before and they're boring as hell. Can I say that?
Yeah, you can say that. I've said worse.
Okay.
Yeah, our email address is podcast@cbsinteractive.com. We'll be back next week. Thanks a lot, everybody. We'll talk to you later.